Recording in progress.
Good morning. It is 9 a.m. We are here today, September 30th, 2021, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPAPA 21-004 and 21-005, Pacific Data Systems, Inc. versus Department of Education. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J. F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jarek Hernandez and Tirza Bagana. Will appellant PDS please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Your Honor. I am Joshua Walsh. We're from Rosanna Walsh and Torres. To my right is Mr. E.J. Torres. We represent the appellant PDS in this case. Joining us as the institutional representative is Mr. John Day from PDS.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency DOE presented by themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Thank you. James Stake on behalf of the Guam Department of Education, and with me is Ms. Bison with the Guam Department of Education as well.
Thank you. Will interested party Teleguam Holdings LLC doing business as GTA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. William Brennan, Ariel Law Firm on behalf of Teleguam Holdings LLC. Present today via Zoom is Mr. Daniel Tyrenko, Executive Vice President.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Mr. Brennan, did you file a response to Mr. Walsh's motion in limine?
We did not, Mr. Public Auditor. I received it just, I believe, right at close of business, if not around that time yesterday afternoon. I did have a chance to review it. I'm prepared to make a response today, as well as to sort of preview some of the relief we would seek related to our entry of appearance and their motion. But if this body would like me to file a written response, I can certainly prepare one.
I would have expected one. My staff stayed until 9 o'clock last night to get copies of the documents you wanted. I would have hoped that you would have also stayed to respond to the motion in limine.
Understood, Mr. Public Auditor. Again, in a similar vein, obviously we're late to the game a little bit, but we were similarly preparing for the merits and to state our positions, especially considering their motion included an alternative relief request for a continuance if we needed to litigate this or other issues preliminary to.
But at least get something in writing to us. I mean, I'm really disappointed that all I got was a four-line entry of appearance. I'm here. What I'm here for, I don't know. The parties have filed trial briefs. You don't have a trial brief. I have no idea what you're here for. We'll recess until 2 o'clock this afternoon. You'll file by noon a response. Do I have a stipulation on the record that they were served in July, or is Mr. Stake to bring us proof that there was service of GTA in July?
We could, Your Honor. To your discretion, it was served when we filed with the OPA as well as Attorney Walsh.
And Your Honor, I'll point out I could find the citations in the procurement record, but certainly GTA's institutional representative was emailing about the protest after the protest was originally lodged. I'll look in the record there, but the agency provided notice.
Explain your late entry.
Understood, Mr. Public Auditor.
All right, we'll see everybody at noon. At 2.
Thank you very much.
We're off the record at 9:03 a.m.
Can we leave our binders?
Recording stopped.
It is 2 p.m. Thursday, September 30th, 2021. We are back on the record for the formal hearing of OPAPA 21-004 and 21-005.
Good afternoon, Council.
Good afternoon.
I note for the record, Ms. Ariola is here with the interested party. Before we start, I want one thing understood. Is this one? Before we start, I want one thing understood. As it relates to the civil case, I have no intention of litigating that in here. My only interest in the civil case is whether or not that civil case divests this office of jurisdiction over this case. I don't want to hear anybody cast any aspersions on any of the parties. It's going to necessitate the Attorney General coming in to try to defend himself. I want the simple answer, does that case divest me of jurisdiction? Plain and simple. With that, we'll start with your motion in limine.
Good afternoon, Mr. Public Auditor. Can everybody hear me on the Zoom? It's okay. You'll see. Okay. So essentially, Your Honor, we're moving, or we filed this motion in limine to prohibit the participation of the interested party. They filed essentially on the eve of the merits hearing today. And they filed in without any indication of what they were going to participate. Now, we do have the benefit of a filing this afternoon that came in. But we nonetheless still feel that this late entrance into the merits hearing prejudices not only us, GDOE, but also the OPA. We have no idea the arguments they're going to put forth at the merits hearing. We have no idea who they're going to call as witnesses, and we have no idea what exhibits they're going to use. And so, based on the OPA's rules, we're requesting that the OPA prohibit our participation in the merits hearing. Now, the rules require that the interested party comment on the agency report, which puts everybody on notice of what it feels that the agency did or did not do correctly, or what they're going to defend or argue. And if the interested party fails to do that, the OPA is empowered to proceed without consideration of what they are going to say or not say at any merits hearing. Now, lastly, if they're allowed to participate this late in the game, we submit to the OPA that this incentivizes interested parties to lie in wait while an OPA appeal goes on, and then come in at the last minute, and then surprise everybody with their entrance and put everybody and just really surprise everybody at the proceeding of what's really going to happen. And we think that that is not okay under the rules, and we would seem to be okay that you should prohibit their participation. Thank you, Mr. Barlow.
Thank you. We'll allow Mr. State to respond first.
Thank you, Your Honor. So for GDOE, a few points. First, we object to the discussion of the merits and getting into the stay and into the civil lawsuit. We object to that, Your Honor. We oppose all arguments regarding the stay, the award. We briefed, opposed, replied, and had an oral argument hearing regarding, so we don't think that that's proper in this situation. And then, Your Honor, to be clear, there were a lot of back and forth, but the notice was provided on July 19, 2021, Your Honor. With that said, we defer to Your Honor regarding the final decision on this.
I will allow Ariel Law Firm to respond before we make our decision.
Thank you, Mr. Public Auditor. So with the instruction you gave at the beginning of these proceedings, we'd request that I'm going to address the substance of the motion, and to the extent there are any questions related to the civil case, Ms. Ariola is the primary attorney, and that's why I requested her presence in case that remained an issue based on what's been stated last week and then I guess your question today. So we can offer that as we get into it. You know, we recognize, Mr. Public Auditor, that we entered on the Monday before the merits hearing in this appeal. I recognize there's a significant record been developed since the inception of the appeal and even before the agency. We're not here to overcomplicate anything. Let me just make that clear up front. In response to Mr. Torres's point about, you know, what witnesses, what exhibits, we've reviewed what's been submitted, and if we are allowed to participate, I intend to rely on those exhibits submitted by the parties before. We're not looking to go back and comment on the agency report or join in terms of briefing or argument on the motions that have already been addressed by you. We recognize that, you know, you're deliberating on that those very issues at the moment. However, I think in reviewing the record in this matter, I have to point to the September 20 hearing on the motions. And the reason that that's imperative from our client's perspective is because of, I think, the apt phrase that the public auditor used during that proceeding was, you can't unring the bell. And that's really part of the issue here, is on the one hand, while the parties are disputing the stay, GTA was not made aware of that in the notice of appeal from the protest at the agency level. Instead, GTA relied on the conduct of the agency here in moving forward with the awards and then engaging during that process, purportedly while, you know, something may have been going on. And that reliance is reasonable, right? Because that's the government entity. And I just think that we have to start there. We have to start with the agency conduct. The notice of appeal began here from an agency decision that said, we do not have jurisdiction to go into your claims about the Guam Telecommunications Act and the General Exchange Tariff, the GTA General Exchange Tariff. The appellant appealed from that decision, and it looked to me in the notice of appeal, they requested all sorts of relief, but really what they got at was the lack of substantive engagement with those claims. But the agency, in the meantime, during this protest process, was engaging with the awardee, GTA. And Guam law is clear. A solicitation and award cannot proceed if there's a pre-award protest. So GTA relied on that conduct. It appeared, based on that conduct, that there was finality to any protest that would have been filed. GTA doesn't get served with protests. And so I think it's important that we recognize that reasonable reliance and how that played into the issues here. Because then what happened here, and I recognize Mr. Stake's point that he doesn't want to get into the merits of the motion to stay, but because of that reasonable reliance, I actually think the Department of Education's argument really highlights the issue, where they said this is the first time on appeal where the stay issue was raised. Because that means it was never raised at agency level, and GTA was not aware that there was a dispute as to the stay. The conduct by the agency was that the award had already occurred, performance was underway. And it wasn't until last week, Mr. Public Auditor, when GTA had mobilized resources, prepared to perform pursuant to the contracts it received on September 7th. It was prepared to perform. It reached out to counsel for PDF saying, we've been trying to engage your client for cooperation on transitioning these services. Can you assist? Mr. Walsh responded, our position is a stay is in place due to the ongoing proceedings. That was Friday, that email was sent. And I'm paraphrasing, but on Saturday, GTA reviewed the record here, and on Monday, our firm entered its appearance, recognizing that the state issue that was never addressed at agency level was a live controversy here that GTA was not aware of. And that is a different issue than what was in the notice of appeal. What was in the notice of appeal was the lack of the agency's substantive addressing of the issues raised by PDS. That is PDS's position. Fast forward to September 24th, there's a stay issued. Just so you're aware, it's subject to the OPA's decision, the Office of Public Accountability, and part of the appeal. We anticipate it in the next few days. Those were the words in the email. immediately, recognizing that the reliance, the reasonable reliance on GTA's conduct, excuse me, on GDOE's conduct may have been misplaced. GTA is here today to assert its interest. Again, as I stated at the start, we're not here to upset these proceedings. We are prepared to proceed. If Mr. Public Auditor, you will allow it, if we need to call a witness, it will be one witness, the individual who interacted with Mr. Walsh via that email exchange. Otherwise, we'll rely on the exhibits submitted by the parties to date. I'd like to be clear up front that we're not here to upset these proceedings or delay. We recognize, you know, agency comment.
Will you be requesting to cross-examine the witnesses that are...
We will, Mr. Public Auditor, and let me just say that, you know, in the motion in limine, there was an assertion that we're here to litigate by surprise. I don't think anybody's going to be surprised if you reach the merits of the jurisdictional issues that are in front of you. If you accept jurisdiction and you reach the merits of those issues, I don't think there's any surprise in GTA coming in and saying our price proposal complied with the general exchange tariff, did not constitute anti-competitive conduct under the Telecommunications Act, right? And quite frankly, GTA's in the best position to respond to those allegations if we reach them, because the issue was the agency never substantively addressed those claims, right?
Then should you be the witness for the department rather than a party?
When the government agency filed its witness list, which as the agency it has the authority to do, no GTA witness was listed, Mr. Public Auditor. And again, it's because, in our estimation, right, we can't speak for the government, but there appears to be an expansion of the scope of what was protested, what was appealed, and what's here today after the motion hearing. And we've not even got to our concerns about responding to the civil case, but to the allegations, and it'll be limited. But that's really where our argument is coming from, that it's not as if their notice of appeal sets the stage and operates on an island, right? GTA is a separate entity. GTA is looking at agency conduct for what process in the award or in performance or contract execution they're supposed to be in. So when all those things are taken together, Mr. Public Auditor, again, just circling back to your question, we are requesting leave to cross-examine any witness that alleges or makes claims related to the GET, makes claims related to the Telecommunications Act and alleged anti-competitive conduct. We don't think they're complicated issues. We think they'll be easily dispensed with on cross-examination, but we don't see how that's a surprise. That is the logical conclusion when they raise an argument that conduct is violative of those two statutory and regulatory pieces. The logical conclusion is that in response, you get an argument from the awardee that the bid was compliant with
both. But does that mean that this body will be litigating or hearing motion on the GET?
And that's largely the concern, and I think your questions last week were spot on, Mr. Public Auditor, on the 20th, when we reviewed the record after the fact, is that you're still determining that jurisdictional issue that GDOE has already declined, right? And that really is what the appeal from the protest was. And the law and the regulations are clear. You have de novo review over issues that are properly before you, right? And has PDS established that here? Our position, obviously, they're litigating the jurisdictional issue.
Why didn't you guys come in from the very beginning to come in and explain to us that we had no jurisdiction because this should have been something filed at the PUC and not before us?
Two reasons.
Those are the two jurisdictional issues that we were discussing last week. Did the civil case divest this office of cases pursuant to law, because it's the same case and it's been filed in court already? And two, whether or not we were impinging on the jurisdiction of the Public Utility Commission, because we had no business, this office had no business determining whether or not it was or was not below. I mean, I couldn't figure that out.
And I
haven't issued a decision on it because I wasn't satisfied with the answers, and I was hoping that during the presentation of evidence, I would get a clearer picture of what was happening, and would then, as jurisdiction can be claimed at any point, I can decide that I may have started the hearing, but I no longer have jurisdiction because it's now clear to me that the civil case divested me, or it's now clear to me that I'm impinging on the PUC. But it doesn't help that you come in this late. I've always expected three parties in this. And I was shocked. I couldn't figure out. I kept asking, has somebody filed? Has somebody filed? Have they been served notice? Yeah, we got the notice from PGDOE that they were served at the very latest on the 20th, before the 23rd of July. So we knew that, and then it's like, but why are they sitting on their hands?
So, Mr. Public Auditor, if I may, I think in addition to those two issues, the civil case and the jurisdictional question, what I can't separate from that and what we've tried to convey in our opposition to the motion in limine is the stay issue and the agency conduct.
But I have to address jurisdiction before stay. I can't issue a ruling on stay if I have no jurisdiction. Once I find that I have no jurisdiction, I have no, oh, by the way, you really should have done this, or by the way, you should have done this. No, it's if I have no jurisdiction, I have no jurisdiction to say anything but to say I have no jurisdiction,
and,
or I've been divested of jurisdiction.
And on that point, if I could actually, I have an answer for you, Mr. Public Auditor, if I can actually refer to the motion in limine filed by PDS. In that they say, DOE came in and acknowledged themselves as an interested party. Therefore, they're acknowledging that they're not the awardee yet, right?
GTA.
Excuse me, GTA. They're acknowledging that GTA is not the awardee yet, right? And that, Mr. Public Auditor, is part of the consideration here related to the stay issue. Because if GTA came in as a post-awardee, the statute's not as clear. It's not as clear with regard to interested party. And in fact, PDS flagged that after we entered our appearance because of the issue with the stay. Whereas, if this body found, as GDOE argued, that no stay, okay, so we'll go in both directions. First, if you find with GDOE that no stay issued and the award was made already, it's a different context in the type of protest and appeal that's made. But if the OPA found that there was a stay, as DOE argued, because it was raised for the first time on appeal, GTA was never made aware of it. And that's the issue we raise related to the reliance on conduct and the stay issue. Because, Mr. Public Auditor, I recognize that, you know, you're saying there must be jurisdiction before you can rule on the stay. But jurisdiction over whom? Jurisdiction over whom? Because if there was a pre-award protest, then the stay is automatic, which DOE has advanced is not what occurred here.
No, it'd be jurisdiction over the entire case. I'd have nothing to say.
But then if it went back below and GDOE's position was correct, that the lack of a stay or automatic stay should have been raised as a protest, then a notice appeal emanated from any decision on that protest, GTA would have received notice that there should have been a stay issued or a stay was in place, and there's a protest from that
but
decision.
But you received notice, or at least your client received notice, that there was an appeal filed on the IFB or in the award that they were granted. Why didn't they reach out to counsel and say, we need somebody to respond to this, get over there and tell him he has no business in this case because you were being sued in civil court, in the Superior Court, or he has no business in this because this issue should be brought before the PUC as an allegation of violation of tariff.
And again, Mr. Public Auditor, it comes to whether and to what extent that averment could be made before you, and I'll point you to Motion in Limine footnote 1. GTA's decision to describe itself as an interested party is significant and should be construed as a judicial admission that this procurement remains in a pre-award status. That goes part and parcel to the determination by the agency of whether there was an automatic stay or not. So,
but whether it's a footnote or not, Jarek's been bugging me since last week. What's your decision on the jurisdiction? I kept telling him, it's not clear yet. I really don't understand, one, what that case is about. I mean, I read the complaint, and as far as I was concerned, it had nothing to do with this case. And so I was willing to say, you know, we're not dismissing on the civil case. But I still wasn't sure about the PUC, about the rates. And then it was compounded by you're showing me the rates of both groups in this case. And neither one of you, both of you were below where the PUC rate, and I couldn't understand that. I was like, are both of them violated of the PUC 360 charge? How is it the one's doing 180 and the other one's?
Mr. Public Auditor, if I may be heard, I understand your concern. I understand why you might be a little bit, you know, perturbed that GTA didn't enter this case earlier. I think that what has happened, at least with regard to how we have handled this matter, is that when we reviewed the record, after GTA learned that there are these allegations made about the civil case and about PUC's jurisdiction, we then went into the record and we started listening to all the hearings, we started looking at all the pleadings, and in our view, this appeal has mushroomed into something that wasn't initially stated in their notice of appeal. They may have alluded very generally to certain matters, but as Mr. Brennan said, we certainly had a reasonable reliance on GDOE and their review of the case, how they handled the case, and their conduct in showing that there may not be a
But even, in case. Even before they filed their first motion in this case, making those statements, you received notice that, or your client received notice that this thing was appealed to us. Why wasn't there an entry at that point to start the process, or at least give us the notice that you guys are here and you're willing to defend against these two issues and you're going to say something? I mean, you...
Yeah, and all I can say to that and all I can answer to you quite truthfully is that yes, our client did receive notice. That's the truth. Apart from that, you know, if you want to hear about the civil case and what the importance of that case is or non-importance, I'm here to answer those questions. But I believe that based on the hearing that occurred and the statements that have been made about that case, they are far, far different from what actually is occurring in that case. And I am the lead counsel in
office. I was ready to, before this thing started this morning, to just announce that, as far as my reading of the complaint, that didn't divest me of jurisdiction. I still was unsure about the infringing on the PUC, but I was willing to wait and hear more to find out whether or not it was, but I still... You may continue on.
Mr. Public Auditor, I mean, you asked a direct question, so I'm going to give you a direct answer. Does the civil case divest this office of jurisdiction of this case? No, it does not. That's a very, very different case. in that case, the Attorney General suing on behalf of the government of Guam filed a lawsuit against GTA alleging that GTA engaged in deceptive trade practices. And they argued that...
I'm not going to litigate it. I read it.
Right.
I know that it's not.
Two main issues. That it's an illegal surcharge and that we didn't give sufficient notice.
I don't see how you're adding more stuff on makes you provide a lower amount that didn't compute for me.
The allegation is that you're
sticking additional charges, it would seem your cost would be higher than theirs, but it didn't.
Right.
But now I'm confused because when I read the trial brief, I see that both of you are below the stated amount of, so I don't know what's going on. And so I was going to leave that unanswered.
And in that regard, Your Honor, Mr. Public Auditor, that is where I believe GTA can provide some insight and some evidence into that matter. But I do want to say that that's not the only reason why PDS has raised the civil case. They also raised the civil case for the point or the argument that GTA is somehow not a responsible bidder or awardee because of that case. And that's just not right. That's not true. Anybody can file a complaint, just like anybody can file an appeal in this case. You know, we filed an answer and a counterclaim in which we have alleged that that lawsuit was filed and that it's groundless, it was in bad faith, and that it was made for purposes of harassment. And I have deposed Fred Nishihara, the Assistant Attorney General Benjamin Bohoki, who filed that lawsuit. And I understand, Your Honor, but I just wanted to make that point.
This room isn't big enough to have to add the Attorney General.
Right, totally agree.
So he can defend himself.
If I may respond on that point, though, that's exactly the concern, is that in the notice of appeal, they have this vague allegation that, similar to what happened in that civil case, GTA is doing that, therefore they are non-responsible. But then when you get to their trial brief, then they come in with allegations of, you know, the BPT should have been separated as a line.
You guys should have said something from the very beginning. I still don't understand that.
But what I'm trying to highlight, Mr. Public Auditor, is two points. First, that there was an evolution, right, from the notice of appeal to what was filed in the trial brief. And second, Mr. Public Auditor, that same concern you're highlighting about why there's no, if we make some allegations today that are, you know, spurious, or if we come down and, you know, something unsupportable, where you have to ask us why, with our duty of diligence, are we just, you know, making statements when we only read a complaint, like you did to PDS counsel last week? If there's a concern that we'd have to bring the Office of the Attorney General in to represent its interests, that concern was valid last week on September 20th when PDS made statements that GTA, after hearing those statements, is now here to defend itself and respond to, because we think they're incomplete. And they were not made responsibly before this body, which I think prompted you, Mr. Public Auditor, to ask, how could you have initiated this notice of appeal or this appeal proceeding and admit to me today that you've only read the complaint in a February civil action? And that concern that you're highlighting of why, or we can't go any further because the AG might have to come in and defend themselves, that's why we're here today, Mr. Public Auditor. That's why, after hearing that statement over the weekend, we entered our appearance on Monday. And quite frankly, we're ready to proceed because that issue has nothing to do with this case. If we get into the merits, we'll dispense with it.
I understand that, and I was going to announce that today. But what else would you be able to provide if I make the ruling now that the motion to dismiss is denied as it relates to the civil case divesting this Office of Public Accountability of jurisdiction over the case because of the civil case and is denied because it has nothing to do with us? What else could you provide to us that would have you coming in at the 11th hour?
Yes, Mr. Public Auditor. So if we are allowed to proceed and you exercise jurisdiction to hear this case, our position is that GTA can inform this body of the application of the GET, can answer the question you asked last week, which was, Isn't there an exception for government customers? Isn't there an exception for competitive bidding? GTA is in a position. GDOE is not regulated by the GEF. They're not regulated by the PUC. And quite frankly, PDF is in part, so we believe they're aware of those exceptions that you alluded to in the GET that they attached as Exhibit G. But again, that all goes, you know, and not to belabor, that just all goes back to the issue. We didn't raise it, and we didn't have this evolution from notice of appeal to trial brief. Why was the trial brief the first time they broke out the pricing where they're alleging a difference in, the specific difference in tariff? That was the first time it was filed in this matter last week. And it was probably the most refined version of their argument that they've articulated to date, besides these vague, it violates the GET, it's anti-competitive.
Well, I keep hoping that, I mean, that's why I asked for a trial brief, because that's the time that I want to know what it is that you're going to prove to me. I'm just wondering whether or not, you would be better if the government offered you as a witness and I grant them the ability to be able to bring you in to testify on whatever on the PUC issues that relates to the GET, rather than having to have three separate counsel arguing because I really am. For lack of a better word, dismay.
Of course. We understand.
That it would take this long for you guys to come to make an entry in this. And you know, I almost threw my computer across the room when I read, well, you know, you have free rein to be able to do whatever you want, and I'm not going to be allowing people to come in at the 11th hour to do this and to encourage people to just, you know, maybe not as was alleged, lay in wait, but I expect people to come forward and help us make a correct decision. And the only way to make a correct decision is when you're notified by the agency that your award is being protested, then get in and say something. And I really don't want to have this be a precedent that people can start appearing. But then again, I also don't want to have to this thing to continue forever. And have it go up and then have the court send it back down and say that you're having another one of your hissy fits, BJ. Be reasonable and hear things out. And so that's why I wanted it on the record, so that if this is taken up on appeal, I gave everybody an opportunity to file and it's there, and I gave everybody an opportunity to make an oral presentation before I make decisions, and I'm trying to offer some way so that this thing doesn't get all constant argument of, well, why they shouldn't be able to ask at this point. If all you're going to do is inform us as it relates to the GETs, then offer yourself to Mr. Steak as a witness, and I'll allow the amendment of the witness list to include that. But I just know Mr. Walsh is going to object to every time you're going to ask a question.
We understand that, Mr. Public Auditor, and we will take whatever you will give us in terms of our participation in this case. If it means requesting that Mr. Steak present PTA as a witness in the case, so that they can give their side of the story, that's fine. If it means allowing us to participate fully as an interested party or not, that's fine. I think that GTA, you know, we understand your position. We understand the other side's position. Frankly, you're Mr. Public Auditor, you know that I've been before the OPA many times, and you know, I'm sure that this is not going to be something that people are going to want as a precedent. We're trying to protect our clients' interests, but we will take whatever you will give us in terms of our being allowed to come in and participate. And if that means offering ourselves to Mr. Stake as a witness, if this case goes to the merits, then that's what we'll take.
Okay. I really think just for precedential sake that I'll allow Mr. Stake to amend his witness list to include one of you, if not both of you, if you want, to come and make presentation on whatever issue is raised by the appellant during his case in chief. And if he brings up a civil case, then I guess he'll ask you, Ms. Arriola, and if he brings up the price, then he'll have Mr. Brennan come in to testify on this, so that it clears up our jurisdictional issue.
Your Honor, may I make an inquiry on that? Is your ruling that GTA may be on the witness list, or that the attorneys are going to be on the witness list of DOE?
Likely someone from GTA.
Okay.
I'm sure you don't want me testifying.
Well, to be honest, yes, Your Honor, of course. I think Ms. Ariel's office would, Ms. Ariel would testify in all the cases. But yeah, I think just some clarity on that, on who would be that representative.
No, I mean, I don't want to break this open with your rules give you all this leeway to do whatever you want. No, and I don't really want to deny the motion and have it taken up on appeal and delay this any further because there's going to be an appeal. It would seem to me that if everybody can just agree that I grant Mr. Stake the ability to be able to amend his witness list depending on how you present your case, and we'll deal with it that way, but I don't want to have to listen to you every time Mr. Brennan wants to ask a witness questions about why is he asking questions and he never gave us any note.
Understood, Your Honor.
Okay.
Just for the record, I am going to, we'll object to that, but I do understand that's the ruling in our case that's going to be allowed. And just so I can say why we would object to that is, I think as Mr. Brennan illuminated, there is the issue of the stay that's still unresolved, and that stay was, that statement that the stay was in place actually predates the appeal. It dates to PDS's actual protest. That's there. So, you know, we had that issue, and because of that, there is, I think, an incongruity between our appeal that DOE did not actually look into the tariff, which we think is a failure of DOE, versus the nature of the tariff. But now that I've said that, put that on the record, Your Honor, I understand your ruling.
Well, no, that's fine. But the thing is at least you have the benefit of their,
yes, sir,
of their filing of how they went about this, and you can go about trying to figure out how to address it. But
understood, Your Honor.
And if that once I get over the PUC issue on the gets, then I'll be able to address whether or not I have enough evidence to be able to make a ruling on the stay and whatever happens. But it seems like everything's moving along. right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
So, it's almost 3. Why don't we start 9 a.m. on Monday?
Is there any possibility of start of tomorrow, Friday, Your Honor?
Oh. Yeah. No.
Just because I think we'll be able to provide some information that I think could help you ultimately make a decision one way or the other on that stay, so we all know what we're
going to have. Status hearing in the afternoon.
Oh. No, I
perhaps haven't. Just a morning session, Your Honor. The only reason I ask is our Mr. Day, our institutional representative, is on the East Coast for a funeral. So a morning time frame for us would be conducive. But he's committed to being available whenever you order.
The next one is not on Tuesday.
I have hearings tomorrow. Oh, well, I have one in the afternoon. Why don't we start Tuesday morning then, and at a given time?
Okay, Your Honor.
What time?
9.
Your Honor.
It'll start 9 on Tuesday, but you guys will be attending this by Zoom, right? You're not going to be sitting there.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Your
Honor.
We're off the record at 2:43 p.m.